The Lord be with you. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know these things that have taken place there in these days? Or put more simply, you don't know? That's a phrase I've heard a lot of these past 2 months. It started off with questions like, you don't know what's happening in China and in Italy? And then, you don't know that the coronavirus is here in the US? And you don't know how it spreads? And so I went online so that I could do some research and know. But what I quickly discovered is no matter how much research I did, the answer to the questions I really wanted answered was still, I don't know. Do I have the infection? Do you have the infection? I don't know. How long will this pandemic go on? I don't know. What will our society look like in the future? I don't know. But as unsatisfying as that answer is to those questions, what I found honestly most frustrating is that I don't know was the answer I had to the question about how to use technology to connect us. You see, I am now the proud owner, well, maybe not so proud owner, of over 100 feet of USB cable. Because I figured I could use USB cable to connect my camera here to the computer that's 50 feet away. But it turns out that USB cable will only transmit a signal 16 and a half feet. I didn't know. It doesn't matter how many USB cables you attach to each other, they will only carry the signal 16 and a half feet. But it turns out there is a different kind of USB cable called an activated USB cable. See, very different. The activated USB cable will carry the signal farther than 16 and a half feet. So you can theoretically string an infinite number of these to carry a signal. That is, unless you're connecting a computer to my camera, because my camera, for whatever reason, when connected to a USB cable, will randomly stop talking to the computer. Why? I don't know. What I do know is that I was able to get my camera to connect to the computer wirelessly. In fact, we were able to get the camera, two cameras, to connect wirelessly to the computer. At least we were able to get two cameras to connect on Palm Sunday. On Monday, Thursday, only one camera wanted to connect. Why? I don't know. But I do know that on Good Friday, suddenly two cameras would connect again. Why? I don't know. What I do know is that one of the symptoms for the coronavirus is a headache. And I had one. Now we just leave the computer on and we don't turn it off and pray nothing changes. The disciples say to Jesus, are you the only one who doesn't know these things that have happened in Jerusalem? Now, of course, Jesus knows what happens. They happened to him. But the disciples are so focused on what they don't know. They don't know how it happened, why it happened, what will happen next. They're so focused on what they don't know that they can't see that the person who is literally standing in front of them is Jesus. And I find this happening to myself also. I get wrapped up in listening to all the news about what we don't know. I go online and I share that news about what we don't know. I have conversations with people all day about how what we don't know is affecting their lives until I sometimes get to the point where I think all there is what I don't know. And if I'm honest, I lose sight of Jesus. Now, I could just give the pastoral advice of saying, well, just don't think about these things. But that's not realistic. And it's also not what Jesus does. When the disciples say, are you the only one who doesn't know about these things? Jesus asks, what things? Though, of course, he knows full well. And the disciples tell him, they tell him about Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet, mighty in deed and word, who was condemned by their chief priests and leaders and crucified. And he died. But now, 3 days later, his tomb is empty, and where he is, they don't know. So Jesus says to them, oh, how foolish you are, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets declared. Now, when Jesus uses the word foolish, you should know that Greek has a word, a specific word for fool. And believe it or not, you know this word. The Greek word for fool is moron. That's what the word moron means. It's a Greek word for fool. Little did you know, you were Greek scholars this whole time. But here's the thing. In this passage, when Jesus calls the disciples foolish, the Greek doesn't use the word moron. The word that Jesus uses is anoeton, which literally means not using your mind, not thinking things through. You see, the disciples, they've talked about current events. They've worried about current events. They've wrapped themselves in the anxiety of all that they don't know about the current events. But they have spent so much time focusing on what they don't know that they haven't stopped to think through the current events in the light of what they do know. And so Jesus reminds them of what they know most of all, which is the scriptures. Jesus, starting with the five books of the Bible written by Moses and then going through all the books and prophets of the Hebrew scriptures, explains to them how all the Hebrew scriptures speak about him, point to him, foretell that he, as the Messiah, will not only work great deeds of power, but will suffer, die, and then after 3 days, rise again. The Bible study that Jesus does on the road to Emmaus forever changes the way that Christians read Scripture. Since that day, Christians read Scripture, every part of Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, looking for Jesus in every single passage. In God feeding the Israelites manna in the wilderness, we see Jesus as the bread of heaven who feeds the multitudes. In God providing a ram for Abraham to sacrifice instead of Isaac, we see Jesus as the Lamb of God who dies to free us from death. In Jonah, in the belly of the whale for 3 days before he spit out again onto dry land, we see Jesus in the tomb for 3 days before rising to new life. We look for Jesus in every single passage of Scripture, not just as a theological exercise to prove the eternal nature of Christ. We look for Jesus in every passage of Scripture so that we might do for ourselves what Jesus did for the disciples on the road to Emmaus. You see, when we learn to see Jesus in the past of Scripture, even when he's not obvious, we gain the ability to see Jesus in the past of our own history, even when he is not obvious. When we go through moments in life when we feel like we're lost in the desert, when we feel like we're suffering, or even when we feel like we've experienced death, and we ask ourselves, saying, we don't know where God is in the midst of this. Having learned to see Jesus in all of Scripture, we can learn to see Jesus in our own lives as the one who fed us when we were lost, as the one who died to free us from death, as the one who was with us in our graves, who led us into new life. You see, the disciples are so focused on what they don't know that they can't see that Jesus is with them. And so Jesus uses the scriptures to open their minds to receive the truth that Jesus has always been with them, even when they couldn't see him. And it says that the disciples realized that their hearts were burning within them as Jesus opened to them the scriptures. You see, their bodies were able to accept the truth that their minds weren't ready to grasp. And that is so true in our lives also, that often our bodies are able to take hold of the truth that our minds are too busy juggling worries to comprehend. And Jesus knows this too, which is why when the disciples reach their destination of Emmaus And they invite Jesus to stay with them, saying, "Stay with us now, for it is evening and the day is almost over." Jesus takes them up on their offer, and he makes use of it for their benefit. When he is at the table with them, he takes bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it to them. And the scriptures tell us that in the breaking of the bread, the disciples' eyes were finally opened and they recognized that the person across the table from them is Jesus. They realized that the person who was walking the way with them the whole time was Jesus, that Jesus had always been with them. They just couldn't see him until they broke bread together. In this passage, we have the entirety of what communion means for us, which is to say, Jesus is always with us. Jesus is always physically present in our midst. When the scriptures tell us that Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, we confess confidently that God's right hand is everywhere. And so is Jesus. Martin Luther writes in a work called The Sacrament of the Body and Blood of Christ Against the Fanatics. He writes in this work that if Jesus were not with me in dungeon, torture, and in death, where would I be? Luther also writes in that same work that Jesus is present in every living creature. He can be found in stone, in fire, in water, and even in a rope, for he is most certainly there. But the truth is, we are so occupied with our worries. We are so focused on all the things that we don't know, that our eyes are closed off to seeing this truth that we should know, that Jesus is with us. And so that we don't have to blindly grope to find Jesus, Jesus gives us his body in bread, that we might hold in our hands the truth that Jesus holds us in his. And when life is throwing us questions to which we do not know the answer, Jesus gives us the cup of his blood that we might fill our mouths with the living word. Jesus gives us the promise of his presence in a way that our body can receive even when our mind is too occupied with worries to accept. When we are overwhelmed with what we don't know, Jesus breaks bread so that we might know that he holds us up. This is the promise of communion. And what a powerful promise for us in this moment who feel alone and separated from each other, that Jesus is present with us every time that we break bread and share the cup in communion. And yet, this past month, as I've pondered the beautiful promise that communion gives us, I have felt that it is just one more thing I don't know how to do in the midst of this pandemic. 2 weeks ago, I got the opportunity to have a staycation. And during that staycation, my wife Annalisa and I were blessed to go do some short day hikes here in the North State. And so she and I would walk along a path, just as those two disciples walked along a path on the road to Emmaus. And just like those two disciples, as I walked along, I heard a voice come alongside me. And it said, "Ben, you are so focused on what you don't know that you are forgetting to see what you do know." And that voice said to me, "You know how to connect people through Christ with communion, because this isn't technology like USB cables or wireless cameras. This relies only on the scriptures, and you know the scriptures. You know that the scriptures point to Jesus, not just in the past, but in our very present." And so I turned to the scriptures. The Lutheran confessions, which are 16th century documents that define the theology that we as Lutherans teach. Those Lutheran confessions tell us that everything we need to know about scripture is found in the Bible. or everything we need to know about how to do communion is found in the Bible that Jesus tells us. In the Last Supper, in Paul's description of what Jesus did in 1 Corinthians 11, and of course, in this story of the road to Emmaus. And in each of those passages, Jesus always does the same thing. When he is with others, he takes bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it. And at the Last Supper, he says that we are to do this also in remembrance of him. And as I prayed about this, I realized we do know how to do these four things. We know how in this moment to take bread and a cup in each other's presence, because even if we are physically not in each other's presence, through live streaming, we are together as a Christian assembly. I will tell you what, through the typing of comments on Facebook, you all talk to each other more now than you ever did here in person. You greet each other. You pass the peace. You share your prayer concerns with one another. Truly, we are a Christian assembly united in this moment. And then as for blessing the bread, Jesus has taught us the words we are to say in Scripture. And I can say them here line by line, and you can repeat them after me over the bread and the cup that you have in your own home. As for the breaking of the bread, I can break my bread here, and you can break the bread that you have in your own home. And as for giving the bread, well, if you have people in your own home with whom it is safe to share germs, I will invite you to give them the bread with the words, "This is the body of Christ given for you." And give them the cup with the words, "This is the blood of Christ shed for you." And if you are alone in your home, I invite you to open your window or open your front door, to lean outside and break the bread there, proclaim that the body of Christ is here, and share the crumbs with the birds, and then give yourself communion. For the church, since ancient times, has taught that the best way to dispose of leftover communion bread is to give them to the birds. We have everything we need to do communion, to have Christ's promise of his presence in our midst, and to say it is one of the teachings of the Lutheran confessions that just as in Scripture, it is always Jesus who leads communion, whether at the Last Supper or at Emmaus, so too at our tables, it is not us, but it is Jesus who leads communion. For Jesus is our high priest, and yet through our faith and through our baptism, we are united as one in Christ. And so in him, we share his priesthood, each and every one of us. I, as a pastor, have been trained to help teach you how to live out that priesthood in accordance to Christ's teaching. But you and I, we share the same spiritual power, which is to say, the only spiritual power we have is the spiritual power that flows through us from Jesus. It is a spiritual power not dependent on our training, not dependent on our righteousness, not dependent on our righteousness, and not dependent on our knowledge of how to do a ritual properly. It is dependent solely on Christ. For it is Christ who does all the parts of communion. It is Christ who gathers us together as one in him. It is Christ who blesses not only the bread and the cup, but who blesses us that we might be his body for the world. It is Christ who breaks not just the bread, but who breaks the veil in front of our eyes so that we might see the truth that Christ is present with us now and has been present with us always. And it is Christ who gives us his body, and who gives us a way to each other as his body. It is not us who does these things. It is Jesus. It is Jesus who makes himself present in the breaking of the bread, whether that is here in this building or in your homes. This is not a promise that I give to you. It is a promise that Jesus gives to you. And so today, I come to you to admit all the things that I do not know. I do not know how long this pandemic will last. I do not know what the future of our society will look like after it. I do not know how to make the USB cables connect to my camera. But I know this, that in the reading of the scriptures, I have seen that Jesus has been with me every step of my past, and he has promised to be with us always in the future. And I know that Jesus is the one who connects us now in the present. I know that when the weight of all the things I don't know breaks me, Jesus breaks bread, that I might know he holds me still. May we all know this today. Amen. And so I invite you to join me in singing the wonderful praises we have for this God who is with us still.